And Abram said, "Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, "This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir." And he brought him outside and said, "Look toward heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them," or if you are able to number them, then he said, "So shall your offspring be." And this is the statement here in verse 6. And you got to remember, it's an old man who God's saying, you're gonna have kids. This is going to happen for you. The scripture says, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And notice again that this is prior to the circumcision event in chapter 17. Abraham was not counted righteous because he was circumcised. He was counted righteous because he believed God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Paul expanded this argument farther in Romans 4. There in Romans 4, we read in verses 1 through 11, Paul wrote, "What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." Now, understand something about this word counted. It means to be credited something. It means to have something imputed to you. In other words, you have none in and of yourself. It comes from outside of you. And so Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteous apart from works. "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin." Is this blessing then only for the circumcised, or also for the uncircumcised? We say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal, much like baptism today, by the way. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith when he was still uncircumcised. How was Abraham made righteous? That's the question on the table. Paul's answer is, it was not by something he did. It was not because he earned righteousness. He could not earn righteousness. He was made righteous because he believed God. In other words, he was justified by faith, so that those in the Old Testament and those in the New Testament are saved the same way, by believing God. Those in the Old Testament look forward to a coming Messiah. We look back to the Messiah who has come, namely Jesus Christ, who took our punishment for us on the cross and who justifies all who come to him by faith. Again, the scripture does not say Abraham was circumcised and it was counted to him as righteousness. Instead, it says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. In his commentary on Galatians, Phil Ryken wrote, "What Paul emphasized was the result of Abraham's faith. His faith was counted or credited to him as righteousness. To put it in financial terms, God accounted him righteousness. Trusting God was like opening a bank account, and immediately God transferred righteousness into Abraham's account." All right, so God is depositing righteousness into your life. He declares you righteous. For us, right standing before God is to trust in God. Tom Schreiner put it this way: righteousness was counted to Abraham even though it did not belong to him. Abraham was counted righteous by faith even though he was not inherently righteous. Righteousness was a gift given to Abraham by virtue of his believing. Again, Abraham had no righteousness in and of himself. He, like you and me, was the offspring of Adam. And when Adam sinned, he threw all of humanity into sin, including you and me and Abraham. Abraham then, in order to have right standing before God, needed a righteousness outside of himself. And that righteousness was credited to him when he believed God. He was counted righteous while he was still, don't miss it, an uncircumcised Gentile. Look at what the writer of Hebrews said about Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 20. Fascinating account of Abraham's life. And notice that the writer of Hebrews focuses on Abraham's faith. It says this in verses 8 through 20 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. In other words, God made a promise. He's trusting this promise. He's trusting God. Verse 11, by faith Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and when he had received the promises, was in the act of offering up his son, of whom it is said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Get the picture. God gave Abraham a son and then told him to go sacrifice him. What are we going to do there? Well, listen to what the Bible says about Abraham. He considered that God was able to even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. In other words, Abraham took his son upon the mountain and was preparing to sacrifice him, just as God had said, believing that God had the ability to bring him back from the dead because God had made a promise about this child. In other words, Abraham believed in the sovereign God of the universe, the one who is all-powerful and in control, who justifies the one who believes in him, who has provided an atoning sacrifice. And Abraham's looking forward, man, a God who will provide an atoning sacrifice, who has the power to resurrect the dead. He trusted God to forgive him and to grant eternal life. Now, this was a heavy blow to those who maintained that in order to become a child of God, one had to become a child of Abraham. Because if you follow Paul's logic here, Paul basically says, if you have not trusted in Christ alone, if you have not believed God, even if you are circumcised, you are not a child of Abraham, hence not a child of God. You say, well, that sounds pretty stern, Paul. Well, let's consider the words of Jesus in John chapter 8. Listen to this conversation Jesus had with some Jews during his time. John chapter 8, verse 39 and following. The Bible says, they answered him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham did. Well, again, what did Abraham do? He believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Jesus continued, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing what your father did. They said to him, We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. Let me sum up what Jesus basically said to them. I've got some news for you. Since you have not believed, Abraham is not your father. Hence, God is not your father. Instead, Satan is your father. Paul said in Romans chapter 2, verses 28 through 29, for no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by faith, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. Again, Abraham was justified by faith alone. Number two. Paul says then, Abraham's children are those justified by faith alone. In other words, if you're a child of Abraham, it's because you've been justified by faith alone. The only real children of Abraham are those who believe. That means that one is not merely born into Abraham's family. Instead, one is born again into Abraham's family, so that God welcomes you and me into his family the same way that he welcomed Abraham. And so let's just be crystal clear this morning, because there's likely those gathered in this room right now, or maybe listening online, that are not children of God. Some make no claim to be. Others claim to be and may even point back to a ritual that they went through. You know, just as Paul dealt with people who would point back to their circumcision as evidence of their salvation, many today point back to such thing as their baptism as evidence of their salvation. But baptism has no more power to save you than circumcision did to save the Jew. This, by the way, is one of the reasons when summer rolls around, I get both excited and nervous, okay, about Vacation Bible School. I get excited because Vacation Bible School is exciting. I also get really nervous about Vacation Bible School as well. I get nervous because I see it all the time. Churches celebrating large numbers of children, quote unquote, getting saved. And then what follows is many baptisms. We're just baptized. Boom, run them through the water. Drives those numbers up. Looks good on the Southern Baptist yearly report. Now, let me say, where there is real faith, we celebrate, right? But let me tell you what I've seen and experienced through 20 years of ministry. I've seen it too many times. What I have seen is kids being baptized and then growing up into adults who don't know the Lord. I've seen that countless times, but those same adults now will point back to that experience, that ritual, as evidence that they are saved. I think what we learn here from Paul is that the unsaved Jew says, but I was circumcised. While certainly the unsaved American believer says, but I was baptized. Just like Abraham was declared righteous by God prior to circumcision, we are declared righteous by God prior to baptism when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus came into the world and lived the life that you and I have failed to live because of sin. We don't go a single day without sinning. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And without someone intervening on our behalf, we would be destined for hell. But Jesus came as our representative in our place, and he obeyed the law completely, never sinning, doing so again as our representative. And then as our representative, he went to the cross and suffered the penalty for our sins took the punishment upon himself, suffering the full fury of God's wrath so that he could save us when we come to him by faith. That is the way that God accepts you into his family as one of his children. It's the same way that Abraham was accepted by God. One writer wrote, if Abraham was justified by faith, then his children have to be justified by faith too. Therefore, we will never become children of God by what we do, but only by what we believe. I would add, in whom we believe. To believe God is to believe what God has said. Abraham's children are those justified by faith alone. And then number three, and we'll wrap up and you can take Daddy to lunch. The good news of justification by faith alone is to be proclaimed to everyone. Paul continued in verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. In other words, the good news of justification by faith was never meant to be solely a Jewish gospel. It was always intended to be good news for every people group. And here again, Paul takes us back before Genesis 17. He takes us back even before Genesis 15. Here we're going all the way back to Genesis 12. And so let's read Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Scripture says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who honors you I will curse. And here it is. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In other words, the blessing of God that Abraham received would come to every tribe, language, and people. And I think it's important to note something that Paul says here about the scriptures. Notice he says in verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, the scriptures preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. The scriptures preached the gospel. In other words, the Old Testament preached the gospel. Genesis preached the gospel. Exodus preaches the gospel. I feel the need to say that because when some old preacher boy from, I don't know, say Atlanta, who happens to be the son of a famous preacher man, tells you that the Old Testament is essentially irrelevant, note that he doesn't even seem to understand the New Testament. For Paul, Scripture is God speaking. Paul essentially says in Genesis 12, Scripture preached the gospel to Abraham. Again, look at it. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham in Genesis 12, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, just as God counted Abraham righteous when he believed, he counts you righteous when you believe. He makes you his children. And God desires to get glory from every people group in the world in this way. He intends to save a people for himself from every people group in the world. I mean, is this not why believers have risked their lives to bring the gospel to some of the most dangerous places in the world? Why in the world would you risk your life to take a gospel to a savage people? Well, because we believe that the promise God made to Abraham was true. That God intends to save a people for himself, from among them. And the way that is going to happen is that they will believe God. But the only way they're going to believe God is if they hear. And so we take the message to them so they can hear, and so that by hearing they can believe. That's why you risk relationship with your family members and your neighbors, because you know that unless they believe God, they will not be counted righteous. And if they're not counted righteous, they will be doomed for eternity. We believe that God is in the business of calling His people to Himself through the proclamation of the gospel, and that He saves all who hear the gospel and believe. Are you a believer? If so, how did God save you? He saved you when you were exposed to the gospel and you believed. That's who we are. That's who we are gathered in this room this morning as believers in the Lord. We are a collection of people from various backgrounds who have been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And because of that, we have been numbered among Abraham's offspring, so that, as Paul says in verse 9, don't miss it, so then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Father Abraham has many sons, and many sons has Father Abraham. I am one of them, but are you? Let's bow for prayer. That's the question. I am one of them, but are you? If you have not given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have not truly turned away from your sin and put your trust in Christ alone, then you are not one of them. But God desires for you to be, which is why God, in His sovereignty, made sure that here you were one more time hearing this good news. You say, well, I decided to come here this morning. God put you here this morning. Okay? Understand that. God put you here this morning so that you could hear the good news about Jesus one more time. You see how gracious God has been to you? He could have just killed you on the way to church today. Right? He could have just let you die. But he allowed you to hear this gospel one more time so that you could believe, so that you could come to Him by faith. Would you come to Him today? You say, how do I do that? Well, even where you sit right now, you cry out to God in prayer. You agree with Him that you're a sinner, and you call on Jesus to save you. He will save you, my friend. He is in the business of saving even the most rotten people in the world, like myself. He's a good, good God. Run to Him and be saved. We love you, Lord. Thank you for letting us sit under your word today. Thank you for teaching us from your word. Lord, do your work in our hearts, in Christ's name.